weekend on the 15th, well, Friday night and Saturday night, there's the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in what the scripture, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so we're going to read in the next few days two or three parables about this marriage supper of the Lamb and see if we can understand it. You can see on the website where the Bible studies are, there's a hit the feast memos about tabernacles, and you'll see. But Friday night is where we burn the booth and toss the pomegranate and sing the Psalms of Ascent. And Saturday night is the feast. So that's behind the lair here. And you'll see the schedule and everything. Has the schedule been sent out? Do you have access to...
Roseanne will be back tonight.
Oh, she will? Oh, okay. So let's go to Matthew 21, verse 33. This is one of three or four parables that are directly related to the Feast of Tabernacles. I read once that 30% of the Gospels are about what Jesus said on the Feast of Tabernacles. Matthew 21, verse 33.
You just said something. I've never heard you say
what?
I read once.
Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. Matthew 21, verse 34, now. And went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. And again he sent other servants, more or greater than the first. And they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Now this parable, I believe, was said during the days of awe, in preparation for the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? Now listen to what he says. They say unto him, and that when he asked what they would do unto the wicked one who had stoned the prophets and then killed the son, they said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their season. And Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builder rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now, that's a big deal. As we've talked about in the past, everything that God did required his justice. There's something's going on.
This is the first time that I think I've seen that it was talking about me.
It is you. It's all men. It's the human race that it's talking about.
Well, here he's talking about to the Jews, I mean, in the parable. I mean, ultimately, I agree, but in this, it's just talking to the Jews, isn't it? That's the title.
No, he's talking to the human race, because the Jews were the best the human race could be. Remember, that's why we have to go back to the beginning. The first Adam and Eve, were born and they were created innocent, not holy. And innocence was to be tested, because God doesn't want innocence, He wants holiness. And the only way you get from innocence to holiness is by testing. As I've said so often, we don't know how many tests that Adam and Eve passed, but we know about the one they failed, when they desired to know for themselves good and evil. So, the husband, if you see this, in my opinion, correctly, this is not just talking about the Jews, it's talking about the human race and the Jews. Because, remember, on this Feast of Tabernacles, when the temple was still standing, there was a total of 70 oxen sacrificed. Nothing like this ever occurred. And it was, remember, there's always the type of the 70 nations. Man has created a whole bunch more, but there were only 70 nations. There were 70 languages at the Tower of Babel. And so, when he was, what the Jews were doing, they were doing for the human race, not just for the Jews. And the sacrifices they made on the Feast of Tabernacle covered the entire human race. There's nothing in here that's just for the Jews. Remember I told you, if there is anything in here optional, I'll throw the whole book out? Do you really see it?
Well, where are the other nations?
All the nations that existed at that time. The other nation there is the new creation. It came from the born again. Other peoples is all it says. A different class, a different thing. That's why you must be born again. His own right arm has gotten him the victory. The human race is lost. They sent him prophets, they sent the son, and they killed him. Now, until you understand that you would have killed the prophets, in fact do, and that you would have killed the son, in fact do, then this won't make any sense to you.
So this is kind of where he took the sledgehammer and wrecked the model, so to speak, tore up the blueprints.
Right. All that Israel was a type, a model, a parable of the mystery of spirit. They weren't the.
And it was good up until.
It was good until the cross. But here, he's setting you up to understand the Feast of Tabernacles, that it's for a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, not improved creature, new creature, made of himself, not from dust. This is the central point in everything I say. That all men died on the cross, and on the Feast of Pentecost, a new creation took place. A new order, a new class, a new genus. Not improved man. I think I'm talking to the ceiling again. And you can go there if you want to, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 2, it says there is one alone. And then this also was vanity. Christ didn't do man any good. And until you see that, you'll never understand the gospel. You really see that?
Yeah. You know, I'm just working on this.
Well, but while you're working on it, you're creating a black hole spiritually. So work on it publicly.
Taking the gospel to the Gentiles, it wasn't just the Gentiles, it was blowing the model away. But I never really looked, you know, I was just looking at it kind of literally. I always thought it was, he was telling the Jews, no, it's not just you guys anymore, it's, you know, now it goes to everybody.
You know, what goes to everybody? Yes, a new creation.
Right. Well, this clarifies.
This is a biggie.
Yeah, it's the everything.
Again, Jesus is called the last Adam. And the word Adam there just means the male and female, the human race. If he is the last Adam, again, I ask you, who are you? You are the pretenders, the instead of Christs, just like the whole human race is. That's why there's only two left. There's only the bride, made up of those that live only by mercy and grace, and the whore, those that live by cause and effect and reward and punishment. Bride, whore, vessel of wrath, vessel of mercy. There's no in between. There's no more gray areas. There's no something for the, there's a special section over here for the Jews, and then there's a special section over here for the Americans, and then America's in here, and then the Greeks are over here, and the Romans are over here. No. There's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, male or female, young or old. It's a new creation. That's what the gospel is. And that's what this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, is a celebration of that. Of a people knowing that. You got to know.
Without this little nugget, Tabernacles is really meaningless. It's a party as opposed to a celebration.
Right. That's why you have to have read and understood the book of Ecclesiastes prior to being able to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Vanity of vanities. Now, vanity doesn't mean you like to look at yourself in the mirror. It's the word empty, futile, without purpose, without merit. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And until you understand that, you will never understand the mystery of the gospel. That's why it's so critical that you understand that at Jesus' baptism, John, who is the greatest that man could be, he says, he laid the axe to the tree of the human race. And he laid the axe to the tree of the human race at the baptism of Christ. That's when it was settled and it was completed 42 months later at the cross. Okay, you don't believe me. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Nobody believes this, ever. No, it's not paroli. It's endemic to the beast. You can hear this for 30 years and not believe it. And if somebody make sure I'm saying it right. The love of Christ constraineth us, verse 14, for we thus judge. 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge, that if one died for all are dead. Does it say that? Or did I get it right?
Yeah.
Now what is it? Now. Some one of you read the next verse.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves,
but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Now, that didn't mean like a mental assent. That's not an option. That's the evidence. I think you know me well enough to know. Again, I say to you, I spent years and years and years translating, studying, trying to find. If I found one thing in this book that was optional, I would throw the whole thing out. Now, until you know that the human race is dead, died on the cross, and you and I and the rest of the human beings are the instead of Christ running around trying to create our own little kingdoms, you will never know the gospel. And you can't celebrate the feast. The capacity to hear this 500,000 times in a 30-year period and not know it is because with the depth of our evilness. You can hear about your own death and you can figure out a way to use it.
Now, these words spoken have nothing to do with flesh, no man.
It's except that you're dead.
Well, that's the only message that, yeah, that's the last. But the words of life are to the seed himself. And what I'm hearing, and I'm trying as the old man to make sense of it and categorize it and make it work, then I'm hearing as the Antichrist, the Gentile.
The instead of Christ. Because, Christ. Again, the curse caused you to be hardwired for self-realization. So the moment that you try to think about it and try to get it and try to study about it, by definition, there's no way out. You are hardwired for self-realization. This is why, you remember years and years ago, and you understood it back then, I told you, you wished that you knew the Bible as well as I did, and you were complaining because you didn't have enough time to study. And I told you, whatsoever is gain to you is a loss to Christ. And that's the slightest, teeniest bit of gain, whether it's about God stuff or anything else.
You know, what spoke to me in that regard even more was when you said that not to worry about it because we're a body and you had plenty of time to study and you'd take care of that.
Well, but that's no. But that's only if that's a concern of yours. I want you to believe me. Trust me. I pray that there would be half of you that didn't believe anything I said and argue with me every day. I wish that were true. Because that's number one. For those that can't say it and can't ask the question, that brings the whatever gray area is. It brings it to it's going to either be black or white. I promise you, that's my only talent, is to push people to the edge. But I can't do it if you don't say anything. You just silently judge. Of course, none of you would ever think of doing that, but especially Harry would never.
I'm thinking, what's funny about, I'm thinking, I've been waiting for you to shut up.
Thank you.
On thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat
all the days of thy life.
Dust, that's what you get life from, dust.
Right.
That means dust belongs to him. It's his food.
Right.
There's no two ways about it.
Right.
And he will crush your head.
The seed of woman bruises or crushes or overcomes the head of the serpent. But the serpent, I've never met a serpent in my whole life, and I've never even heard of one that eats dust. And yet, that's what the scripture says that they are condemned to eat dust for the rest of their eternity. Well, who's who? Do you think, I mean, if you believe the comic book theology that there was an actual snake, the snake is the way of the snake, and that's your mind. There's nothing you can do about it. It wasn't a separate being. It was their mind talking to, because they had named. Once they named, then the possibility for the fall happened. And there wasn't a being with horns and a red suit on and a tail talking to Jesus Christ. It was his mind as Son of Man. That's why it's so critical that you understand he was Son of Man altogether, and he was Son of God altogether. And he, as Son of God, bruised and overcame the head of the serpent because he ignored him. And that's what I am trying to get you to see. But everything, the best that you can conceive of to accomplish as a member of the human race, is eating dust. Does that touch you anywhere? You want riches, you want diamonds, you want glory, you want fame, you want purpose, everything is eating dust. And that's why it's so critical to understand this mystery of communion. Because it is alone what you can eat. You eat alone the flesh of the Son for sustenance, satisfaction, for purpose, for everything. You drink alone the blood for your worth, so you no longer have any concern about self-realization and, oh, am I being appreciated? All that other horseshit psychobabble. But nothing can be understood, especially about the Feast of Tabernacles, until you understand what I said this morning. It's just another excuse to have a party otherwise. Any response to all this, Miss Diane?
He didn't ignore him. He told him to get away from him.
Well,
that's different than ignoring. That's responding.
But that's what you do. That's how he overcame him, because he get away, and you have no power. You have nothing in me. And he said, the God of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. We try to make ourselves of value to the God of this world. And he's the one that has the right of first redemption. This is why this everything here, this is, it's only, I wish we had like 3 days in a row.
Me too. We could just stay.
What's confusing to me is that you say, until you understand this, you won't understand this other stuff. So when you say understand, that's you're expecting my mind to comprehend?
No. And to understand means to be apprehended by it, instead of you trying to apprehend it. My purpose, the only thing I've ever done for 30-some years, is make fun of everything else and show you the stupidity of it. There's nothing. You can't understand it in the traditional sense by studying, you know, and word studies and translating. Remember, the only time the people of Berea were... I mean, the only time anyone was ever commended in the scriptures were the people of Berea. And they were commended because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. These incredible things that Paul was telling them. Now, that's why the first requisite is that you understand. I mean, the Bible, you got to understand, is written to those that know the law. That's a little difficult, because there's nobody that knows the law anymore. That's why the test is getting more and more and more and more subtle. And the longer time passes, the more subtle and the more the need for total integrity is important. Because you can con yourself to do anything. and believe anything and think you believe something. So you have to be true to that intimate, that thing, that, man, that's what, when I started studying, I didn't even know it. I didn't even know what the books of the Bible were. I certainly never heard of the Talmud or the Midrash or the Zohar, any of those things. All I did was start pulling strings. And every other day I'd come across, my God, this doesn't make any sense. It's a complete contradiction of what I read yesterday. But every time I saw a contradiction, apparent contradiction, it hid this incredible mystery, this doubling. If you hear me, just think about it. 30% of what's in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is about the Feast of Tabernacles. At least 25% is about the Feast of Passover. Then we got Hanukkah in there, the Feast of Dedication, and we got all the others. And so, I mean, how can you possibly... I mean, the Scriptures are written, but our minds do... And it doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or no Jewish, you know the law. You're hardwired to look at them as a way to improve your life. And that's supposed to be that way. God did it. That's why it's only the poor in spirit that ever hear. The empty. Because they've tried everything and failed, and it didn't give them any satisfaction. But when you hear, you know... The only reason it got allowed all these idiots on television preaching this comic book theology is so we can see ourselves. You know, I'd love for what Copeland preaches to be true. I'd love what I'm Tilton. But it's only, that's why the Scriptures are good news only to the ones that have failed at everything. If you haven't failed, you won't know. I'm not talking about necessarily failing all the way. I'm talking about failing in terms of your own understanding of what failure means and have the integrity to say so. You failed at marriage. You failed at jobs, you failed at human relations, you failed at raising, you failed at everything. If there's anything I can do, I would have done it. Because I don't like this. That's my mind. But if once I stop owing this anything, then my God, how can I neglect so great a salvation? How can I trivialize it by putting it on flesh? That's what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain, is to think that something in here has something to do with you. And what does he say about it? If you take the name of the Lord in vain, he shall not hold you guiltless. Now that's a kind of scary thing to do. We didn't get very far today.
Talking about knowing the law. The law shuts you down, shuts you up, puts you at rest, and then in that place you can hear correctly.
Yeah, the law.
And there will be understanding.
The law, it doesn't matter which law. The word, the law with a big L are the 613 laws of Moses. And that's spiritual. That's not optional. There's nothing in it. It's a parable. It's a type of the real spirit world that's around us. The law, little L, is noumos in Greek, and it just means the way a thing works. And it really is targeted at cause and effect. And as we've talked so often, everything that you have learned since you reached the age of self-awareness has been a how-to. How to write, how to read, how to get a job, how to be successful, how to be a good citizen, how to know about history, how to. Even when you read fiction, you see in it how to. And you learn from all these things. and how to seems like the right and proper and good thing to do because it'll make us better people. Well, I'm here to tell you that every how to you've ever learned is a mortal enemy of the mystery of God, because it takes you away from the moment of dependence. That's all he wants from us, is total reliance on him and him alone. And just think of what he said. He said, except you be converted from a human being to a born again, and become as this darling infant, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Until you lose the capacity for self-awareness by seeing that all self-awareness is dung. It doesn't take any genius to walk away from dung. Anybody doubt what dung is? If this weren't Bible study, I would tell you.
You could say shit would take.
In Ecclesiastes 1:13-18, isn't that what it's really talking about? Like seeking knowledge and how it brings about grief and sorrow?
It's nothing. Gave himself to have 700 wives and 900 concubines. I was sure that's what I wanted. No, that's not what I want. Oh, I want a lot of money. I used to tell myself, I don't really want money. I just want the freedom that money brings. No, I wanted a lot of money. What is it? Empty, boring, nothing. Anybody have any?
The thing Kevin said about understanding the subject he brought up about understanding made me think of Paul on the Damascus Road.
Yeah, Paul was the most learned of learned.
About the falling away to reveal the man of sin. The only understanding is stopping the charade.
Mr. John Bojo. Any response? Understand? Agree?
Happy about it?
I'm ecstatic about it because there's no other options for me. I'd be dead. The only thing that he needs from you is the recognition that everything else is crap. And have enough integrity to speak it. Unless you want to defend something here, we can have a little more fun. Want to defend family values or happy marriages or nice children? I know. Let's defend America. America is a Christian nation. Or Israel has any purpose? Let's defend that. Anybody? Or time has anything to do with anything.
I'll get back to you on that.
All righty, take it, big guy.